22, there's some deletions, corrections, right?
We would.
On section 32.
Madam Chairman, as I understand it, we would be deleting, and I would so move the S 3804040, and 3805030A.
And
095.
And also Senator.
3805095B.
Right.
Do I have a motion to that effect?
I think you did.
Okay.
Madam Chairman, in that section, I'd like to throw one out for a little discussion before I make it.
32 or 33?
4, 32.
Okay.
I've been pretty unhappy for a long time with the state override, and I'd just like to get a little discussion of kind of how people feel. I don't like necessarily lost causes when everybody's tired, but there's been an awful lot of controversy on the whole thing of municipal override.
Madam Chairman.
Yeah.
Is a change from the previous bill.
Wait just a minute. Are we on 16 or 15?
Page 15.
And what in the side found to see what bill they've got here? Oh,
okay. I should go back, by the way, Senator, and say that during the intermission, staff came to a conclusion that dealing with the university at this time in this bill was probably a bad decision because of the court case and quite a few other questions surrounding the use and disposal of university lands, and that to expedite this bill probably best to go back to the original bill, which dealt with the university.
The original? 531 or the original?
531.
Okay.
531.
Essentially, Madam Chairman, what that does is say that the provisions of this apply to university lands, right?
There were technical changes in old section 6, 531. See, it dealt with school land.
It's in your big bunch, yeah, right here.
In the original, the university was not taken out. It was remained as in the statutes. And that's what we propose to do, is leave it in the statutes as it is in the present time. Make that other technical amendment of school land.
Are you talking about 7? 6 and 7 then?
Section 6.
Oh, okay.
Availability of school land and university land. Page.
Page.
Madam Chair, in addressing that, is there a repealer that we actually addressed?
Where are we now?
Yes, there is a repealer.
Well, we just started to get started again. He was reporting on this land.
Three changes, Senator, would have to be made if we go back to the old version. Place Section 6. Insert an old Section 32 university again. And do not repeal 3805030A. Three different changes. Also
so in other words, what we're doing there, I assume this is concurrence with DNR, what we're doing there then is leaving the within committee substitute the language in the present status statute.
We're not dealing with the subject.
That's right.
Okay. So then that would not be included within the bill at all, is that correct? Okay.
You would not be putting then what was in the original 531 back in.
Yes, you would, because you're not dealing with university. You're dealing with school land, which is a technical amendment, not university.
That's correct.
That's correct. In other words, you're not touching university at all. You're doing school.
Well, then, but in the section okay. 6 that we have in our book, it says availability of school land and university land.
Yeah, so you're just deleting, Senator.
Madam Chairman, all we're doing is taking out flexibility of school land.
You
know, the university land is still the same.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Uh-huh. That's the way it is right now.
Right. That's sure. Changed with
okay.
Effect
then.
Okay. Gotcha. Page 15, where we left off, line 19. There is a change there from the original bill. The original bill dealt with Section 8. DNR has proposed the best way to handle this nonprofit organization is to change Section B only, change the citation. Section 23 on the same page is also a technical amendment dealing with youth encampments, exempting them from lease rental payments. Mr. Bradley of the Legislative Affairs Legal Division assures me that that section would adequately deal with present leases and would allow DNR to go back and redo those leases to waive payment.
Okay, if you remember in the testimony that we had, there was some concern expressed concerning, how was that stated, religious organizations or whatever. The purpose of this then, as we're putting it in, is to allow leasing to nonprofit groups, scouts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and those that are leasing now could be going back and let those leases be going for no monies or whatever.
That is correct.
Madam Chairman, this corrects the law that was passed in 1978. That just all it had, and it's caused more trouble, it had an error in the citing, and it's been hanging around ever since. So I think that...
Okay.
I also overlooked one section just previously in the old 531 that was deleted. I dealt with, I always pronounce this word wrong, riparian lands.
Oh, yeah.
I found out that this is not a good section. It might give fishing rights.
Which one is this?
Let's leave it alone.
Section 25 in the old bill. Section 28 of the old bill on page 18, renewal of grazing leases has been deleted from the committee substitute also.
Section which?
28.
I understand now that the present bill allows us anyway, so we don't need it, right? Okay.
The next change is on page 19 of the committee bill. On line 2, the university there would have to be, again, inserted into the bill. School, hyphen, or, and then university would be put back in. Section 20, notice provision. The first sentence, this section...
Whoa, I'm lost. 29.
Section
20. 29. Oh, okay. Clean your glasses, Jim.
I'll try. This section establishes the requirements for notice given by the department for the following actions. This allows the department to give one notice if they have more than one activity listed below, instead of one notice for number one, one notice for number two. The next change in the committee substitute is on page 21. This inserts a similar provision in the House bill, establishing within the Department of Natural Resources a Division of Forestry. This is the same language that's in the House bill. This provision has been requested by the department.
What does that cost us? Move on, Chief.
One other item I skipped over inadvertently. In the original bill, 531, page 23, line 27, it says, for purpose of this section, interested state land resources, and that includes number 3, had unitization of oil and gas leases. That has been deleted out. The repealers have been changed in the committee substitute. I'll read section 32, first repeal of the 3805047, 3805065, 380577B2, 3805078B and D1, and 3805097.
Now, what's this 3805095, 40 and 30 that we took, that we're taking out of there now.
I'm sorry, Senator.
In 22.
Okay. 40 is the university land.
Both those are university lands.
All right. And then that 095B.
It's actually amended earlier in here. It was a repealer in the first bill. This was just a carryover by mistake.
Okay.
Madam Chairman, I have a question mark on 3805078D1.
Yeah, that was brought up. Check the 10-year sale restriction only buy or something.
Yes. That was thinking there, Senator, was that you already have an 8-year limitation on lands that you can purchase. Thinking was that this section was somewhat redundant. Was added, I understand, talking to a few people, to prohibit speculation.
Okay. Unless somebody else is. Senator Fisher.
What are all those repealers?
In your,
they're in this big book.
In the book there. In the book.
Yeah, they're the same ones we had in the other.
Chairman, I could probably quickly save Jim and some time. 447 has now been consolidated, or at least the essential elements of 447 have been consolidated into a new 3804020, which is Section 3 of the bill. So no need for that one. 065A sets up the 10-year repayment terms for auction sales. They're now 5 and 20 into the bill. No need for 065A. 077B2 and 078B, I'm not quite sure, but they both refer to residential land within remote parcels and non-residential land within remote parcels. Those improvement requirements were deleted, and there's no need for...
Well, that's where we don't build the house anymore.
Right, right. Okay, so that's... D1 is the 10-year sale restriction, which we've already discussed. And 097, I believe, relates to the youth encampment amendments.
That's straighten up that erroneous citation.
Yes.
We sure does it.
Hope so.
We'll
make sure. I'll be back next time. Mm-hmm. If they're wrong.
The last section there, the committee substitute, section 33, page 22, allows a person to convert his remote parcel lease agreement to a new lease agreement.
Is that to allow them to fit into the this bill?
Yes. Both the $10 payment and staking, if available, of additional land.
Date of appraisal. And no improvement requirements.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, now there was I don't know, you were going to check room for Senator Gilman.
We looked at it.
Did you find it was a no problem to leave it alone? Or?
It was. We were proposing a solution to a known problem.
Oh, okay. No scratches, no itching, no scratches. Right. All right. Then was there any other situation we were looking into during the interim that I have slipped and not brought back? Let me look at my notes here real fast. I don't think so. Now, do any members of the committee have proposed amendments?
Madam Chairman.
Yes.
I'd like to try one on for the interest tonight.
I can't hear
you. I just said...
Automobile running
well, in. Well, that's pretty good competition.
Let him out.
You would turn to page 11. Now, do we have the amended bill before us, Madam Chairman?
Yes.
Would you like a motion for adoption of that or not?
I think it'd be a darn good idea.
Well, I mean, whatever's right.
Unless you want to continue markup and see about
this
before.
Okay, as just the way it is, however you want to do it. Okay. I'd like to make a proposal, and we could get the sightings here, that we, I would move to...
Before you move it, let's just discuss. Oh, I guess we're going to have to get legal. Go back then and let's get this bill before us. Chair would accept a motion on Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 31 as far as being before us.
I so move.
Any objection? Then we have before us Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 31, Resources as Amended.
As amended.
Was that your motion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
As amended?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. However.
Okay. Now,
you want to go through page by page and see if people have any? Because I'm at page 11. Maybe somebody's got something.
Well, in talking with those that I've spoken with during the break,
okay,
there seemed to be some that we had had enough hearings on the others that some requested that unless there was a special request to do so, everybody's pretty familiar with it. And if there are just certain sections you want to bring up, it might take time to do it that way. What is the feeling of this?
It's fine with me.
Okay, send a picture.
But do you want to go through it sequentially and have people bring them up, or just...
Yeah,
all right. Is there, on page 1, section 1, any amendment on the part of any members of the committee?
Why don't you just go page by page?
Okay, page, the rest of page 1. Page 2.
Madam Chairman, on line 23, I think it might be 20, it's actually 21 through 25. The issue that was brought up by Mr. Sharp, it is not entirely clear that land which may be conveyed to the state by the federal government after it was taken, it could be eligible for selection. I believe that's the point that he's raising. And that is a very important point for Southeast communities particularly, because it is going to be after 1983 before those lands are conveyed. I think you can say that very safely. Can you, Jeff?
Yes, sir.
Madam Chairman, that also affects the Kenai Peninsula.
Well, no, we wasn't going to mention it.
Well, yeah, it does, because we looked into some of those lands for a capital site once.
Then have you reviewed the proposed amendment as turned in by Lee?
I have, and I find it, just like all other attorneys, as bulky as hell, and I wish we could get it down to... but I can't come out with any better language, and I'm not sure where we would insert it.
Jeff, how about...
I think maybe if you want to do it with one sentence, take subsection C there on page 2, which actually goes over to page 3, and add a sentence that says... Land retained in state ownership does not preclude selections by municipality under AS 2918-201 through 213.
That's so simple.
Sorry?
Yeah, just anything to clarify.
Okay.
Would you say that again for all of us?
Yeah, this would be, you'd be adding this section, line 2 on page 3, right?
Correct, sir. So this would be a new sentence.
Would you repeat that?
That'd be the last sentence of that first paragraph, right?
That's correct. Right after it says land for the bank includes at least 500,000 acres, period. And then new sentence, land retained in state ownership does not preclude selections by a municipality under AS 2918-201. 2918-201 through 2918-213.
Land retained in state ownership, I'm sorry.
Does not preclude selection by a municipality under AS 2918-213.
What do those sections, is that the regular selection process?
That's just the Municipal Entitlements Act.
Lee's got a problem.
Well, we'll see. Wait a second. Senator Fisher.
Go ahead, Lee. Madam Chair, I'll deal.
Lee.
My understanding is retained in state ownership. So, it's classified for retention of state ownership, and I think that would imply they preclude us from selecting it. Or at least we're going to have a big argument. If it's retained, it's going to be classified for some state use. The language I had suggested is not added language, it's a substitute for two sentences that are already in there. Beginning with a sentence that starts in line 25, the land invade, you drop that sentence and substitute the language that I have in the letter.
Well, I'm not sure that that makes it any clearer than the one sentence of Jeff came up.
As I see it, Jeff was suggesting that if it's classified for retention, that would not prevent us from selecting it, but that's going to create a conflict because the state will be retaining it
Oh, your worry was in the land bank, wasn't it? Your worry was land that was in the land bank, right?
No.
What was your worry?
The land will come from the feds to the state. And under the existing language in the bill, the state will look at it, and if it classifies it for retention, that is, there's some state need for it, if it classifies it for retention, then the state retains it. If it does not classify it for retention, then it goes into the land bank for disposal. There's a third alternate, which is that the municipality may have selected that land. I want to make sure that that alternate is recognized. Now, what Jeff had suggested, I believe, maybe Ted can comment on it, would wind up with a classification for state use, and then the language would indicate that we could still select it. So I think we're going to get into a terrible hassle.
I think you're right.
Chairman, I think we're comfortable with the proposal as drafted by Mr. Short. I think it works fine.
Well, I'm not sure that I am. Let's see. On 925, starting with land conveyed, then we would switch in land conveyed and ending with the bank on line 1 of page 3, we would insert the material that's on page 1 of your letter. Is that correct?
Well, I think you
see. Right.
And there's no problem with that with anybody except me and trying to explain it on the floor?
Once it's in there, nobody will understand it anyway.
Oh, that's pretty clear. I must be turned into a lawyer.
Madam Chairman, I would move that amendment.
Is there objection? Ask unanimous consent? So be it. You got your cut and paste there? All right. Now on to page 3.
Madam Chair.
Senator Fisher.
I would like to propose that we, after line 10, we have a new sub 5, which will and maybe that's not where it belongs. Anyway, what I'm after is that the department, and the department better listen to this.
Is the department listening?
Department.
We're still already on the last
department.
We'll go back to it.
I would propose that the department annually submit a schedule for disposal of state lands for the next 5 years. Exactly the same thing that we would require of the municipalities under this, so that they too would project what their overall disposal program is, and they would annually update it and revise it as necessary.
How many more people are we going to give them to do that?
Madam Chair, that's underway now. They're working essentially in that direction already, and it seems to me that if the municipalities are to advise the public in the state of what they're to be doing over the next 5 years, there's no reason why the state shouldn't advise the public and the legislature.
Madam Chairman, how does this tie into the demand assessment provision?
This would, in effect, be an outcome thereof. It would be annually revised and updated based on the assessment. But this would, instead of just having them submit an annual proposal, would have them submit annually a projection over 5 years, which of course would be subject to revision.
Ted?
Madam Chairman, I think what Senator Fisher is saying is suitable, except that D is merely a status report on the land in the land bank.
Mm-hmm. I suggest it might be the wrong place.
If you note on the next page, Senator, at line 23, there is a requirement that we do exactly what you're talking about for 5 fiscal years.
Yeah, 5 fiscal years immediately after the year in which assessment's made.
you would, let's see, you're right. However, I think the general location should be specified also, not just the amount of land. The last sentence deals with the general location of land proposed for disposal in the next fiscal year. I would like to see that applied to the five years. Well, that would take care of my suggestion, Madam Chair.
Would need an, Madam Chairman, would that not need a, in the next fiscal year, that would do it, wouldn't it?
Well, in the next fiscal year, and during the subsequent 4 years or something like that.
Madam Chairman, haven't we kind of got ahead of ourselves?
Yes, we have, just a little. Well, let's wait then till we get to four and we'll go back.
All right.
We'll get back on it. Let's go back to three then. Is there any amendment to be made to three or any suggestion for change? Dan, now we're back. Now we're on four. Is that better?
We have a hand reaching up in the sky, I think.
I think under the next section, which starts on page three and carries over to page four, under section E, where the commissioner shall annually submit to the governor an appropriation request, which includes one through five, five being for identification of land which will be proposed for disposal on this subsection in future years. I'm wondering if that could be
offered
to accommodate his 5 year.
If we put in 5 years there, that'll satisfy me.
Where precisely now?
Line four or five, page four. What problems does that cause? Do you see any big problem on that?
The only thing is that this simply says that's what the budget is for, but the assumption would have to be that they actually use the money for purposes for which appropriated would prepare a 5 year projection.
I think we, Madam Chairman, I guess I missed this. Maybe
there's a question whether we can prepare a plan that shows general location lands for the next 5 years. But the specific disposals would be those things we're asking, only asking for money for. Which would usually be two to three years.
And you'd be adjusting that?
Yes.
Each year.
Madam Chair, my proposal is that in line five, if that's where they want it, that after the words disposal under the subsection, over the next 5 years, Ted nods his head.
I'm sure. I think it's covered in F.
I do too.
I really do, because you read that in the full context of this of the paragraph, and it says for at least 5 fiscal years immediately after the year in which the assessment is made, and the assessment must also state the general location of land proposed for disposal in the next fiscal year. Now you may want to add right there, and preceding
at succeeding 4 years.
In the preceding 4 years, or an estimate of the preceding 4 years.
That's exactly where it was before. Then somebody suggested you put it up in line five. I don't care.
Well,
what it is.
I personally think it should go right there, because that's precisely what
that's,
we're talking
that's
about.
The report. I agree.
Done. I'm lost now. The general location is on line what?
25. In line 25, what now reads disposal next fiscal year, add to that and the subsequent 4 years. Unless we just make a read over the next 5 years, disposal over the next 5 years.
Madam Chairman, I guess I have some problems with that, in that you're going through a whole demand assessment, you're going to be finding out what the munis are going to do, you're going to, a whole lot of things change, and that seems pretty specific. I can see it on a year or two, but gee, for 5 years, I wonder what validity that has. It just seems somewhat unworkable to me.
Madam Chair, I don't have any problem with listing the areas that we're going to be looking at over a 5 year period. But what we're talking about here is the proposed disposals for the next fiscal year, which is what y'all are going to be funding. And from my standpoint, if this reference is stretched out over 5 years instead of the next fiscal year, which is what the appropriation is actually for, frankly, the department could start playing tricks about what it's going to dispose next year as opposed to the following year and all that. I mean, I'm looking for, I think Senator Fisher's point that since we're asking municipalities to state their projections for their grant, you know, that for our appropriation, there's nothing, no reason why we shouldn't state what areas we're looking at. But I don't think that's anything confused with the actual proposed disposal for the following year.
Yeah, Madam Chair,
I'd like to be very specific.
I fully agree with Jeff. My main point is that somewhere we should write in a longer term projection, because that's the only way we will have transportation access taken care of and all the other things that have to be done in advance. It's got to be part of our longer-term budget process. And
looks to me like they'd work better under 5 then, a line 5.
That's an appropriation authorization.
Oh, no, take it back.
You know, Madam Chairman, that line 23 talks about the statewide demand for 5 fiscal years. So I think if we regionalize that report, you know, you get the general location that's required subsequently automatically. And I don't see how you can do this sort of assessment without doing it region by region.
Could I make a suggestion, Madam Chair?
I hope somebody does.
At line 20, and I think I'll quit after that. Line 20, to read, regarding the amount and general location of state land.
I think that enhances the bill. I believe we've gotten there. Well, that, you think, take care of your concerns?
Take care of my concerns. And it fits in.
You got that, Jim? Any other corrections to page 4 or change suggestions? Page 5.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to bring an item up just for discussion with the idea of a possible amendment.
I'm being very lax. Go ahead.
To B and C, where we're setting the specific amounts of land, does that fly in the logically or illogically in the face of what we're saying when we talk about demand assessment and land disposal? How much conflict is there between one with the other? Could we have a response on it? Do that?
Yeah.
I'm not quite. You're talking. We're on page 5. You're talking about the 80-10 mm-hmm. formula.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
And you say, how much does that fly in the face of the assessment itself?
Yeah, well, in other words, we do an assessment that's supposed to tell us what people really want and so on.
Okay.
Do we have a built-in, you know, conflict?
I would say that the way the law presently reads, which says 80, 10, 10, and it's inflexible, that you might very well have a conflict. There are places where
I don't like that either.
Want to do more home sites.
You will, yeah.
So consequently, this bill was amended this year, mm-hmm. you know, to say at least 10% home site lottery, at least 10% home site residency, and up to 80% lottery, with the idea that you're setting a minimum on there is an amount of policy as a policy, a minimum amount of home sites, but you can go beyond that. I think it's unlikely that we'd want to go less than that number of home sites, just because that's been a subject on its own that's been passed on by the legislature as a matter of policy in the past. But it's flexible now, whereas in the past it was just a straight formula. And in fact, there are places where we already have, you know, or would want to, I can think of now, go more heavily on home sites than the way elsewhere. Especially, say, in Southeast, where you've got good water access to waterfront ponds. Those are places where you may go very heavily on home sites.
Well, are you sure you're going to want to put up to 80% of the parcels under lottery?
We already do now. It's 80% now. Right now it's 80% lottery, period. 10% home site residency, 10% home site
lottery. Oh, but you could have 40% of it lottery.
Yeah,
under
60%
this.
Home site, one of the two categories of home sites under this bill.
Gives them quite a bit of flexibility under this language.
Okay, I know that we had testimony that they didn't like the built-in requirements of so much has to be this, so much has to be this, and so much has to be this. If then you have that much leeway, do you really... I guess we better leave it in get it passed, don't you?
Madam Chair, I read it very permissibly.
Yeah.
The 80%?
Yeah.
Now, up to
you
it.
Up to.
You can't exceed 80%.
Madam Chairman, there is one thing that isn't permissible. It's got to be at least 20% home sites, or 10-10. And that's clear in the statute. The rest is sort of up to us to develop a mix which is appropriate based on the demand assessment.
You anticipate, just one final question and I'll leave it, that there'll be areas where that'll be a real problem in meeting what the real need is of the people.
At least 20% of
the
place?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think so, because if you're going to say no, then what you're really doing is questioning the policy on home sites in general. You know, whether you think that's a good idea. I mean, the home site thing is there to meet a particular type of, you know, of use, or to impose a particular type of requirement for people to be able to get land, either on the basis of length of residence or by lottery, but having to build a dwelling and live on it a certain amount of time and all that. I don't know how you even calculate that on a demand basis. It's really more of a policy to get a certain amount to a certain type of user.
I don't think so. Any other question on page 5? Page 6? Wait a minute now, there was another thing.
This is where Mike Byrne had this before.
Page 7? Page 8?
Madam Chairman, I'm sorry, just one small technical point. Subsections D and E, is it? It's not a small technical point?
It's all right.
Never mind.
I beg your pardon?
No problems.
Hey, no wonder we come out with screwy bills. None of us, we're all kind of getting this way, huh? We won't go past 7 anyway, but I hope to make it not past 6.
Madam Chairman.
Yes.
Before we leave page 7.
Yes.
There was some question, again, it was brought up, and I think it is valid, at least for discussion purposes, where municipalities may not have, where it requires them to have a 5-year schedule, and they may not even have those lands identified yet. In, like the case of, again, the Southeast communities, where they don't have the land identified. And the suggestion was an amendment that said the requirements of 1, 2, and 4 of this section do not apply to applications submitted prior to January 1 of 1982. So that between whenever the effective date of this is, of January 1 of 82, if the municipality wanted to make an application, they could make a 1-year application and have their annual disposal identified. Then after that, they would have to have a 5-year. I don't know whether that makes any sense or not, but I can see in many cases, particularly again in the Southeast.
I don't want to make that, though, where those who already have them identified can slide by. So now, how do we correct that? Jack?
Subsection C here provides that the commissioner shall determine that a request by a municipality that meets the requirements of the section before it is submitted to the legislature. The terminology here is somewhat general, I mean, as to what a schedule is and you know, how close an estimate has to be. And since the department is interested in seeing municipal lands placed in private ownership, you know, we're going to be reasonable about applying those requirements. So I don't know that it imposes that much of a burden. So, but I also, I guess.
I think what the point is yeah, we'll give you a 5-year plan, but it isn't going to be worth the paper it's written. You know, it isn't going to be.
You could say for the next 4 years we plan on disposing land if we get any?
Yeah.
Something.
Okay, but the other question is, what's the grant request going to be for? And they come in with a grant request that does not take you all the way up to the disposal date. What are you going to be willing to sign off on in terms of appropriation for that? They come in and say, well, this year we want this, you know, we want $3 million for engineering studies. And then you say, well, where's your disposal date? And what is it you're actually going to sell? They say, well, we don't have to submit the plan this year, we'll tell you next year. See, the difference here, there have been 3 proposals in the legislature this year as to how to handle the municipal titles. And one is the one that's in House Bill 31, which essentially takes the land back and the department sells it. The governor's proposal was a loan program, this is a grant program. But then you don't have the same handle on the municipalities as you do on us. since...
We can't get their PCN numbers.
That's correct. That's exactly what I was thinking. So...
I'll take the amendment off the table.
Why don't you guys put in a PCN number so we... let's think about it. Do you see...
No, I think it... I think his point is well taken.
Okay.
The department's stated objective in this whole thing is to encourage municipalities to close the land.
Page 8? Page 9? On page 10, we have under 7B7 of this section, right?
Senator, also one other change that was amended. On same page, line 4.
Which
B,
same page?
Page 10.
10.
Yeah. B, the parcel does not exceed the minimum lot size for that zone. It makes it clear.
Remove the colon then, put for that zone, colon.
That's correct.
I'm going to try.
So move.
Any objection? Thank you.
One additional change. It was my mistake when I drafted it. On line 18, same page, parcel conveyed under B7 of the section must be sold.
Madam Chair, so move.
Objection? So be it. Page 11.
Before you disappear from this page. We decided in the bottom section, 050, that a disposal of land for home sites will be held in the municipality closest to the land. Is that the general agreement?
That's my feeling. I don't know that, maybe.
Chair, I think that's the one I wanted to bring up, but I think it needs some debate. I thought that would be under auction 38050055.
Well, that's the auction. But this is a general statement. And an auction does require the presence of persons, but a disposal of land for home sites, I'm not sure what that means.
There's two ways.
If they're written applications, for instance.
There's two ways to do it by home site. Either apply and then it's ordered on length of residency, or apply under the lottery provision.
Right.
I'm not sure how we'd handle this requirement for the length of residency ones.
That's part of my question. How would you manage this? Because these essentially go into your central office.
That's the way it has been. It's all been by mail.
Madam Chairman, are you saying, Ted, that we might be better, it might be well advised to strike or a disposal of land for home sites under 3808?
Well, you could strike. You could make a read a lottery sale, including a lottery for home sites.
You could tie directly to 3804020G2C.
Madam Chair, I think logistically you have a couple of choices, three choices. One is on home sites, don't worry about anybody being present. Second choice is require them to be present for the lottery. You hold a lottery locally. Third choice is require not only to be present for the lottery, but also for the residency determination. In other words, the award by length of residency. Well, I mean, we could do
we're
that.
We're not locally. Talking about it being present. We're talking about the location
of the sale,
of where the sale is being held. In
well,
this particular case.
In essence, on home sites, you only have two things: you have a lottery, or you have. Or
no.
Because lottery would take care of the home site lottery.
Well, I think, Madam Chairman, I think your intention is to. If you're trying to give preference to people who live in the area and do it by requiring them to sort of show up for the sale, quote sale unquote, that for a lottery you're asking them to be present, you know, on the date of the sale, lottery
of the drawing,
the date of the drawing, and then have the drawing locally, and requiring, in other words, if it's in Ketchikan, somebody from somewhere else is less likely to go down and apply for one of those if they know they have to go to Ketchikan on the date of the drawing and be there. I think that's right. Is that what you're
right? But the word lottery, if that's for instance an auction sale or a lottery sale must be held in the municipality, that would leave the kind of sales where longevity is a factor would be held in the central office, because it's pointless trying to hold that someplace in a remote location.
Well, Well, I don't think this is clear myself.
Madam Chairman, the problem with lottery is that you never know for sure. What you might want to do is tie, as you recall, in the 3804020 section, take a look at page... Oh, boy.
Which section now?
I'm fine. I'm looking now. I'm so confused. Page 5. If you look at subsection C on lines 12 through 15, you have the designation of homesite lotteries, and it seems to me that if you tied that section to reference to homesites, you'd be covered. It would apply only to homesite lottery disposals and subdivisions.
Okay.
And I think that takes care of it.
Do it here.
So it would be 3808 as well as...
I would say on line 27, this is on page 10 now, auction sale, lottery sale, or disposal of land for home sites under 3804, whatever the site is.
3804.
020G, whatever it is.
Which is it?
Which is the one the section I just mentioned.
It's 3808.
Well, it's confusing.
3808 is home sites by length of residence.
Yeah.
In 3805 or 04, I guess it is. It's home sites by lottery.
3805057?
The reference that we need, I believe, is 3804020G
to C.
Big C. And that refers to 3808 as well. I think that solves the problem. Madam Chairman.
Excuse me.
Typically lawyerly.
We'll do it for lotteries, for home site lotteries and length of residence who longevity ones would be out of the central office.
Except my problem.
Sure, I have that.
Will you see that he has that?
Yes, ma'am.
Do I have a motion to that effect?
I still do.
Page 11.
Madam Chairman.
3802. 0402. 0402. 0402.
Right.
G.
G.
2C.
C. Remember that.
All together now.
3804.
What kind of sandwich was that?
3804.
I never did learn to say that sandwich.
Salami.
G. G2C. Letter G. Big 2.
Thank goodness.
Page 12.
No, you got to go back to 11.
Page 11.
Much as I'd like to. I'd like to throw out for some discussion because I think it's a major policy issue, and I could make it specific, but I'd like to do away with the portions that require people to be present for the auction sale. I realize this is very much a political question, but I've got some real problems of one Alaskan saying to another Alaskan, one is more right than the other or has more ability to get a piece of land. We may have people that can't afford an airline ticket or have some other reason, and we're saying that unless you're on hand, you don't stand a chance. And I think there's plenty of things built into this that take care of speculative things. And I don't know, it seems like when we're selling the public land, it's really inequitable to say that some Alaskans are going to have a better crack at it than another. It's kind of like the stuff they're passing off a lot of federal laws to say you don't go around building brick walls around your house and not have people come in. And it just offends my sense of brightness. And taking a look at some different ways, and it gets pretty complicated if you build these other things in, and I haven't found just a way that sounds perfect to do it, other than I just would like to see us do away with this. I think everybody ought to have a crack at it. I think there's ways in there that we've done a lot to prevent speculation, and at least I want to bring it up to say remove those things that say you have to be on hand. I feel kind of strongly about it.
And I feel strongly the other way.
Well, no, and that's what it's all about.
Madam Chairman, having conducted a couple of auction sales, I've been responsible for it. What you find when you don't require the individual that's going to bid on the parcel, that you will have a person or person, a broker, or lots of individuals. And we ran into a case of default.
I mean, sure, we got the 5% or whatever it was we required down at that time. But believe me, if I go, you go to me, and you say, I want a piece of that land up there, in an auction sale, there's something that happens, and it gets to be a competitive thing, and all of a sudden somebody's gone over what the other guy wants to pay. And we ran into that in several cases where tax foreclosed properties on an auction sale where it was practically the same terms as in here. And had a lot of defaults. Now, I don't know whether that's something that you might have experienced, but that's what we experienced when we went through a rather good-sized foreclosure sale.
Madam Chair, could I ask Senator Sturgill-Lewski one question for clarification? What, at least the way I understand it, what you've put up for debate here is whether or not the personal appearance thing would apply to auctions. Now, on the next page in Section 13, there's the same requirement for lotteries. Are you suggesting both, in both cases, or just auctions?
Really both cases.
Okay, because we've noticed the way this section is written, this doesn't apply to commercial, industrial, or ag land.
Yeah.
And really, right now, the amount of residential, which is what's left, land that we sell by auction is almost nil. The only time we use it
is for hot lots here. We're going page by page here.
Yeah,
I should have brought the whole issue.
Right.
And as I say, it's a philosophical issue. I want to raise it and, you know, up or down, however it goes, but I really, really find it offensive, I guess. That's it.
I still don't understand, Madam Chair. I still don't find out. I don't see even philosophically how it's offensive. That's where I'm having
some. Well, I think if I can, Senator, if there was a sale that was being held in Kodiak
or Ketchikan or
you know, somewhere that it requires a plane ticket to get there. And there's an auction that deals with 5-acre lots someplace. I might call you and say, hey, Bob, go over there and bid on one of those lots for me.
In your name or my name?
Your name,
of course.
You'd be representing the individual. Well, let's take it, for instance, let's say I'm going to retire. I live in Fairbanks, and I'm going to retire in Sitka or something, and I am of limited resources. You know, I may not be able to actually attend that in person. There may be some real problems, but I have every intent. How do we know what the people's intent are? And in a sense, we're saying, if you got more money and you can be on hand, you're going to have things are going to be. Where you might have some family member, representative, something else that could handle it for you. And I guess that's my problem. It does limit. What it really says is those people that are there and have access really have a better crack at it. And I think that's the philosophical point of view.
Madam Chair, what would again, just, I'm not going to labor it, but what would stop me from being in Kodiak and calling up somebody to make a speculative bid on all the property that might come up in Fairbanks, and make another speculation bid on the property that comes up in Sitka, and make another speculation bid on the property that comes up in Ketchikan. Just shooting in the dark and speculation, and call up my good friend Elias and say, well, pick up any lot you can for me under $500, for instance.
Well,
you know.
Senator, I think there are some limits on obviously certain types of the land that you can get, and you'd certainly have to, you know, if you win that land, you get that land, you're going to have to, you know, pay whatever terms and so on are specified. You have to live up under the conditions of the, whatever the.
But
I've had a problem too, Carlos. Shouldn't a person see the land they're bidding on? Shouldn't a person see the land?
Yeah, I suppose. Although there's an awful lot of topographical and map and other, hopefully, information you can get on land, without actually setting foot on it.
Madam Chair, I can see the difference in commercial or residential or whatnot. Be there if I'm interested. I want to be there if I can. If I can't, I'll.
That's not what you're saying.
Do it through some attorney or something.
Yeah. Here you're saying that you can have an attorney or agent for everything but personal.
Residential.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I just don't see that.
Ted.
Madam Chairman, the procedures that we follow are not quite as lax as it might have intimated. We have a registration period prior to the auction. An individual who wants to represent somebody has to have a signed power of attorney. They can bid only on behalf of the person they're representing. They may not also bid for themselves. An individual may buy only one parcel at any auction. So it's not quite as easy to say, go buy a bunch for me.
Mike, just
see the problem.
Go ahead.
Might just point one other thing out, just so you understand the scope of these provisions. First of all, you're only talking about residential auctions. As I said, yeah. We only use those anymore for odd lot ones, you know, for, I mean, it's almost nothing.
Conversion of leases to sale is the principal use of the one.
Okay. The other thing is that right now, under existing law, of course, we do all the remote parcels by lottery because, but with the changes made by this bill, we will no longer be doing remote parcels by lottery. We'll simply be opening them to staking. So you won't have that either. What you're really down to, I guess, is subdivisions.
Subdivisions.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether that makes a difference, but that's going to be the one where you're going to run into is the subdivision of lotteries, where this is going to have its principal application.
I guess that's where I have the problem. If you're subdividing in an area, and the people are bidding on that subdivision, then they should be the people who plan on living in that subdivision, you know, and I just...
The auction is not going to be held necessarily within 100 miles of where the subdivision is. It'll just be held in the town. The nearest town has a judge, so if there's, let's say, the nearest judge to Chase is in Wasilla, you still not necessarily get on the land, and the way the land, so much of the land is inaccessible, you pretty well have to study maps and, you know, use other intelligence, so that one doesn't necessarily get at anything. It seems to me that in view of the non-frequent use of this particular section, that maybe we have to clean up the statute and just, there are two sentences, one starts in line 8, a bidder must appear in person, and then the next sentence says a bidder may be represented. I would suggest, just to follow Arliss's suggestion, striking the first sentence and then having it read, a bidder may be represented by an attorney or agent at the auction, period, and then strike the rest of that sentence.
It might seem to you that way. It might seem to her that way. To somebody else, but it doesn't seem to me that way.
I'm just trying to bring the issue clearly before us. I think that change would do what Arliss is talking about.
Well, you'd have to change it a lot of places, Madam Chair, because you've got that exception for medical reasons, attendance at school, military service, several places through.
Well, one more
we'll
on
get to,
page
we'll get
12. Madam Chair, it's just one of those simple things that, you know, vote her up and down, and it's obviously it's a, you know, it's going to be
I'm ready to vote.
Well, those in favor of which one shall it take place?
Well,
there in person,
he stated that's, I think he stated it.
I'll make
appropriately. Okay, those in favor of the motion, let it be known to raise your hand.
Okay.
Those opposed to the motion, raise your hand.
Okay, left.
Madam Chairman, that's the Democratic way.
Well, we've done it quickly, too.
Page 12.
I fall asleep here.
Like I did in commerce. Almost. Page 13.
Madam Chairman, line 14, there should be either before military service or after military service.
I thought we'd already corrected that, though.
That was grafting error. It needs to be looking at attending university to conform attendance at school.
Is that a form of motion, sir?
I move.
Any objection? So be it. 13.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
I put that in one.
I want to point out what that grazing lessee preference does. I'm not sure it's as clear on the surface as it might be.
Which one is this
text? Section 14 on page 12. Under existing law, which appears a little later on, a holder of a lease has a preference right to, at the present moment, meet the high bid at public auction. That includes a holder of a grazing lease. Now, as I read this, this would restrict that grazing leaseholder's ability to buy that land to a parcel no larger than that being offered by the department in that offering, which in the case of 069 has a statutory maximum of 320 acres. It'll work, but I'm not sure that's really what you're
saying. When you're saying there are grazing leases that are more than
30,000 acres, right?
What's the recommendation of the department on that?
Let's just take it out.
That would be my recommendation.
Just eliminate Section 14?
Yes. Yes. It's already covered under the lessee preference law in 102.
Do I have a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Mr. Bradley? Any objection?
It's a choice in the bill, but I won't try that.
Good. Page 13. Page 14. Page 15.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
There was a drafting error there. Line 3, as I mentioned, rental payments made on the lease shall be applied to the purchase price. Was intended to be taken out.
Which?
That is a policy decision.
Shall the $10, if we're lowering it $10, shall that apply towards the purchase price, or shall we take that out?
Should apply. I would move to delete it.
Motion been made to delete. Any objection? Oops.
Let's discuss that. I'm not.
Right.
We're both totally in that. I'm we're not totally sure of what the effect of that is.
Page 15, center in line 3.
We're saying rental payments made under the lease shall be applied to the purchase price, and those rental payments are $10
an acre
per year, up to a maximum of
440 acres.
40 acres. Could be less than 400. I mean, you could have a 32-acre parcel. Or okay. Where then in here does it allow those people who have been paying
the higher rate
to have that applied to the
last page,
section 33, yes, page 22, line 11.
So it is permitted.
Yes. That would credit if past payments in excess of $10 an acre, either against the purchase price or against future rentals.
Okay, so in essence, if we take this out, then we're saying it's a matter of public policy. Your $10 an acre is you. That you cannot apply to your purchase price. If it's over a period of 10 years, then the $4,000 you paid, if it's a 40-acre parcel, is what you pay for use of that land during that time.
Right. Thinking there, Senator, also was that perhaps this would hurry up and get the patent and land final into the hands of the individual. It would behoove them to get the same survey needs at their hands the final patents.
It also follows the open entry of the old bill. The lease payments were just lease payments, you know. Try to get them to speed up getting into the house.
Madam Chairman, I would move my objection into the motion to delete.
Thank you.
Madam
Chairman, yes.
Also, on section 21, there was quite a few errors. Wherever it says selects, it should be stake, and it has to change wherever necessary there is a drafting there.
Stakes.
Instead of selection.
The person stakes.
That's informative with the previous section.
I have a motion to that effect.
So moved.
And that's in both G and H?
Yes.
Yes.
No objection? Okay. Is that finished 15?
No.
Oops.
Still in section 21G. That applies to H as well. Should the later the person selecting additional land, should that not be contiguous or somehow related? Otherwise, we might have a person selecting five separate parcels.
Well, maybe it has to be.
Well, that would have even more to breaking up land in these.
Yeah.
Madam Chairman,
I don't think you will know whether or not you can give them contiguous land until you see what the situation is. If they're the last person in an area and they overlap, if there's 20 acres clear, you can give them that, but you may not, because of other stakings, be able to find another 20 acres right there, so you may have to give them another 20 somewhere else, I guess.
Yeah, but Madam Chairman, how would that work? Would they get two leases?
Well, I guess they'd have to, otherwise they're robbed of half of their entitlement.
Yeah.
Or either one lease.
And they only get one of those.
Well, are you satisfied with the present language?
We can give them.
How do we resolve this, Madam Chair?
Well, there, if it's overlapped through no error of their own, you know, and so forth, and they've lost, say, it's a 40-acre parcel, and they get 15 acres. Uh-huh. They're entitled then to select 35 acres somewhere else. The director will help them find it.
15, 35?
And that's all one lease?
I didn't.
We could either do that, or we could allow them to rule, you know, to relinquish this taking 40 acres somewhere else.
Justified through regulation.
No.
Madam Chairman, on that, I guess the Department of Law upstairs might have a problem with that. They're not sure if they haven't got their work done on this yet. About the notice provision, there might be a problem with the notice provision. If they go outside the remote parcel, they will have it to us. Might have to take it up at the Finance Committee.
We'll bring it to you then. Then let's leave it till we find if we do have. We have asked. Or this part was in the other bill too.
This is the same as in the House bill.
And we have asked for at least 24-hour notice on that by in writing to these various agencies. But
it's 48.
48 hours, yeah. Okay, 16. Too little long, but went somewhere. Maybe.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I just want to keep up with you. You know, wait for me.
Would you get a bunch of blank paper?
No, I'm comparing it to the notes I had in the future.
Oh, do you have a 14?
I have another technical 15. Amendment, Senator, on section 23, on page 15, line 27. Should read 3805070 through 3805105 or 3805315.
Why?
That's the authority under which the lease is actually issued.
Okay.
Citation problem.
That's getting us acting like we know what we're doing. Do I have a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Question.
Yes.
Should that be or and?
And.
Pardon?
And
well,
or.
The reason I was asking is it right up in the same sentence as it has and.
I would say and. Madam Chairman, I would say and. Is
good for you. He's not sleepy yet.
I haven't been around here long enough.
Page 16.
Madam Chairman, wasn't there some problem with this as far as...
Now, there was a testimony to a two and a long.
What?
There's some technical consistency in this.
In 102 along the river.
Go ahead.
That, well, the lessee preference matter that I mentioned earlier, Madam Chairman, 102, the present law reads that the lessee has a preference to meet the amount of high bid received at public auction, and this would change it to appraised fair market value. And I pointed out the negotiation problem that would, the temptation it would bring before the poor individual occupies this position.
Madam Chairman, that's on the bottom of page 15 and the top of page 16.
Ted, go through that one more time for us, will you?
All right. Under, I believe it's 070-3805-070, the director may negotiate leases not to exceed 5 years and not to exceed, I think it's $250 a year rental. That's negotiated without anything other than the setting down and doing it, basically, if it's properly classified in a disposal area. Then the director has the authority to approve appraisals. And so if this were amended, he would then be able to negotiate a lease, do a desk appraisal on it, and sell it at that price to anybody without any exposure to the public process. And I think that it's important to keep that public auction as the last step in the process so that there is at least one opportunity for the public business to be done in public.
Madam Chair, I'll move that we delete section 24.
Can you do the whole thing?
We don't have to do anything. Just leave it as is.
That would then leave it after it as it is.
Yeah.
That's right.
Is there objection?
I believe the, if I remember right, the testimony that we had from representing Hayes. Office was very adamant that there needed to be some way that a lessee that had made significant improvements on the land then would have an opportunity to purchase that land at its appraised value. Is that?
Yeah.
That's right. And so we've got a built-in conflict here.
And a built-in fight and free conference.
I'm not talking about legal conflict, I'm talking about a political conflict.
Well, perhaps what you could do is make an exception then in the negotiation authorization in 070 so that there is no ability. If the original lease is granted as a negotiated lease, then it would have to be done at public auction. That way you've got the public in on one end or the other. If it's a lease that was originally awarded at public auction, why then you could negotiate the price.
The purchase price.
That's got some merit.
Somewhere
you want to.
Then that would mean we would have to add 070 somewhere.
Well, perhaps in this section you could put a unless or except in, except releases negotiated pursuant to 070 or something like that, which shall be offered at public auction.
This does not apply. Where would you put the unless?
Right at the end of that.
To fair market value.
I'm confused now.
And so in cases where it's applied by auction, how do you?
Well, an appraised fair market value if the lease was first acquired at public auction, yeah, that would be one way to do it.
Does that make a catch 22 though? If it was not, what does that say? Then do you need a positive statement?
I
think you would, really.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Why don't we get somebody to huddle as we go forward?
I think that's probably the thing.
Because this is something that we're going to have yahoo problems with down the road.
Okay. I withdraw my motion.
To delete?
I withdraw my motion to delete pending the brains getting together and coming up with language.
Okay. Page 16, other than the top of the page?
I have a big note here on section 25, delete question mark. We had some testimony to the effect that we might be better off without that little section 127. Is that not right?
That's correct. I'll be glad to summarize my testimony.
I still move, Madam Chair, just to get it on the table.
Okay, I object. Just get us talking about it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Just to summarize the way I said earlier, I would not object to a section, for example, here, which allowed a municipality to petition the department to vacate an easement and the department make a determination to do that. That doesn't bother me. What does bother me is that the authority here is given to the municipality to limit, vacate, or modify an easement. And the department, once they take that action, the department has 30 days to overrule it, or otherwise it takes effect. And
is there a requirement for them notifying DNR of that action?
Yes, certainly there is.
What happens if they don't?
If they don't?
Chairman, I'd like to point out on line 9, the director is permissive there, it's not mandatory. The director may
and to request municipality. So it's more permissive.
Well, that's, no, we're talking about the first section there.
It's an E and F that become a...
The first section just allows, yeah. I have a little trouble with that too, because I think that, I mean, in terms of putting off a determination of public access until there's a disposal of an interest in that land to the third party, at which point there you have somebody who is not going to want to have any easement at all in that land. If I were purchasing land from a municipality and they said, well, by the way, this is going to be subject to some kind of an easement, you know, I'd oppose it. Well, who wants it? Mm-hmm. The private landowner does. I'm only trying to bring up the point that right now there's not a lot of private land in this state, and being able to move around freely, you know, and have the places that we have traditionally gone to be accessible is something we take for granted, but that is not always going to be the case. And this is a provision that is not only statutory but constitutional as well, I gather. That requires us to retain access, you know, to public waters, and so that we can continue those uses. It's exactly the same issue that's come up in the Native Claim Settlement Act in terms of the easements there. Same thing, exactly, only this is on state lands. This is something that is of interest to everyone statewide, because not just to people who live in the particular area. They may use it, but there may be people from other areas that use it. And I'm personally, and I'll use the word paranoid, about anything that is likely, even in just procedure, to discourage the state government, in this case our department, from reserving the necessary access. And I think once you give the municipality the ability to, in essence, take an action subject to a condition subsequent to vacate an easement and then give DNR 30 days to do something about it, when in most cases that vacation, that attempt to vacate it, is going to be in conjunction with some kind of disposition of that land to a third party or a commercial transaction where somebody has a financial investment, it's going to put a lot of pressure on the department, because there's going to be an individual that says, if you do this, you're ruining my investment.
And what do you have to say to that, municipality?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think the state put easements on all its disposals right now. I don't know how many individuals have come to the state and said, please take the easement off, because I don't like it. So, you know, there are already a lot of disposals with easements on them. Also, the municipality is probably going to go through this procedure long before they have the individual identified to purchase the lot, which can be part of the subdivision, that they're going to want to move the easement. That's part of that process. And they will not have sold the lots, they will not have the individuals online at that point. There is going to be a public hearing, and I can assure you, at least from our experience, in the public hearing, the folks around here who have used those streams and easements are all going to be there saying, don't you dare consider taking that off or moving it or making it less than what we need. So I think the interests are going to be the other way. What we're faced with at present is DNR's having the ability to tie its own hands, and it's done so quite successfully. Now, I understand that they're considering untying. The regulations first said that the easements would be 25 feet wide on each side of the street. And we had problems that, you know, that was too much. So the next thing, you need to change the regulations to 50 feet. And they say, well, if we put an easement on, it has to be 50 feet, because that's what the regulations say. We don't have any discretion to make it less, because our regulations say that. Now, I admit they have said that they're going to address that problem, but I don't know how they're going to address it 3 or 4 years from now, whether it's going to stay the same, more flexibility or not.
Haven't there been some 300 feet and some?
The regs say 50 feet minimum at this point. And they say they can't give, you know, if they put an easement on, it can't be less than 50 feet under any circumstances.
A lot of easement.
I'll be, Madam Chairman, be the first to admit that present regulation is too arbitrary. How wide should an easement be in a particular instance? Some cases 10 feet, some cases maybe 200. It depends on the terrain. But remember, we're talking about a one-time conveyance of 869,000 acres of damn good land to the municipalities here. And once that process is over, it is over. This isn't going to go on for 10 or 15 years. It's a one-time conveyance, and we have to make that reservation and do it right. I don't mind having a more flexible regulation. I don't mind negotiating with the municipality. I think it's fine. We should negotiate. I think the negotiations we've had with Kodiak, Kenai, with Fairbanks, you know, basically good deals. That's fine. But still, I don't, and I guess I'd ask one question, Mr. Sharp. Why does he want us abandoned?
What was the question?
Why does he feel this authority is so important for the municipality? If we're going to change the regulation, which we've already promised to do in writing to the legislature, sent it to the House Resources, because they asked us to promise it, and we did. And if we've been able to reach agreements with at least three of the boroughs, that we've had this problem with. I don't see why it's so important.
Madam Chair, is that something? I've got a commitment at 6:30 and I've got to go. My vote's with the department on this.
Let's call for the question.
Oh, just a minute, Senator Gilman. Yeah.
Well, I thought Senator Mulcahy had something else.
No, I just hoped he could be here.
Madam Chairman, I have to go back to the statement that I made at our regular meeting time. The conveyance document itself has the easements written into it. Am I correct? I mean, the patent has easements written into it. And once that is done, isn't a matter then of the title that it can't be changed without the conveyor agreeing to it?
It says so in so many words under subsection E, municipality may vacate, limit vacate, to modify an easement for public access. In other words, we would be giving them the authority to vacate an easement established in the patent.
Or modify, make larger,
whatever.
Madam Chairman.
That's for the protection of other beneficial uses of public purpose. So.
Perhaps I should review quickly how we got to where we are. In the course of conveying these lands, if they're surveyed, then we have to identify on the survey plat and in the patent those waters where we're reserving easements, both to and along. When we do that, we then notify the municipalities that this is our preliminary decision, and they then have an opportunity to object to that. Object they do, because we have a limited amount of time in which to do this. So our approach is to avoid making the kind of mistake Jeff is talking about. We put easements on everything that shows on the map or the aerial photograph, because under the, it's either navigable or public waters, which covers everything, basically, if you look closely at the definition. When the municipalities get this document that shows these very numerous easements, all at 50 feet, they object. And so that's where we get hung up, and we have to work out an agreement of some sort. Either we make a final decision and say, no, we're going to leave those in place because that complies with the law, in which case they take us to court as being unreasonable and what have you. I don't remember exactly what Lee called us in the official filing, but arbitrary, capricious, unreasonable, and that sort of thing.
Besides that, probably, well.
So that's how we get into this this corner, and this is a method to get out of it. The hazards that Jeff talks about are certainly there. The hazards are there the other way, too, that you could, if you have to make the decision, that you could miss one, or you could be...
What is the remedy for stupidity, in case you just do something that it is wrong and you're not able to... can you go back and change through...
A patent is a patent.
A patent.
I hear now abandon all further claim to that land.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have no recourse other than to go to the municipality and say, please.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair?
But you do have a right of veto here.
Under this new... Yes. I'm talking about under existing...
How are these easements given? I understand if you got a stream or some waterway. And I know if you have more section lines and so on, but in subdivisions, how do you private easements?
On the subdivision plat, they're shown on the plat. They're in place on all section lines, and additionally, we reserve them along navigable and public waters in any conveyance documents, including the patents to the municipality.
Right. Madam Chairman,
yes.
If we get rid of all this, and you go ahead with your method, you're not able to resolve the issue satisfactorily to the municipality. You issue the patent. What recourse then is there of somebody coming along? Who can do anything forever?
The recourse is to the municipality.
All right.
Once we've patented it.
All right, then you still can go to the municipality and go through the process of vacating.
You can't vacate it.
You can't. Well, that was my question.
Okay. That's my point. I don't have a problem with having some kind of authority in here. before the department to vacate an easement, you know, on some kind of showing by the municipality. What I object to is the municipality taking the action by the borough assembly and then giving us 30 days, and then we have some kind of veto power. I mean, it really puts us on the spot, and I think in a lot of cases, and sometimes we're going to give in just because we want the noise level to go down. And that's not the kind of decision. The other part is this is a state. This is a
state. God, how many lawsuits we got going on in this state right now?
Yeah, but they're from all sides.
Well, Madam Chairman, that sounds like a reasonable approach, if there could be that ability, because people make mistakes. Sure. There should be an ability for some kind of appeal. How difficult, I realize your time constraints, would that be to get wording to allow that?
I think we could probably work something out with Jim here. This not very long, by, you know, tomorrow, for sure. I don't think it'd be very difficult to do.
Well, let me ask you this. It should be some recourse. As a group, is there any objection to me reading this bill across? I've gotten the chairman of the Finance Committee's agreement that we can finish our amendments and take it to him. Is there any problem with reading this bill across and then making this adjustment with your agreement tomorrow, calling a quick meeting?
No problem with me.
No problem.
So we can go ahead and read this thing across in the morning.
Do we have an amendment?
Anything else?
Yes.
I'm not sure we could get it redrafted by tomorrow morning.
I'm sure we couldn't. Yeah. Well, there was no intent to get it redrafted by tomorrow morning.
Should it be read across? You know, that gets really subject to the criticism if you're not going to move it very quickly, boy. If they say if the bill's not there, this does get into a hassle, because if you read it across people and there is interest in the bill, both the Senate Secretary, if the bill's not there in it, past has been subjected to some really good criticism. I only point that out.
Okay, we get into Friday morning then. So we're all getting tired anyway. Shall we try then to leave that section and go on to the rest of it and finish it?
Could we make a motion though, so we've got the direction or not?
Mm-hmm. How would you like to word the motion?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Move to, by deletion and addition, delete the section 25, but add a section that would set a process for, vacating or modifying the easement by the department. I think that reflects the discussion, doesn't it? Senator McKay, was that?
Okay. 17. Well, that's start at 26. 18.
We do that.
You did it.
19.
Madam Chairman. Page 19, line 2, to conform to the university thing, we have to put university back in.
Okay, we still have out school mental health are.
That's correct.
Okay, do I have a motion to that effect? Anything else on 19?